And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7 dropping by at 6:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols coming off a big win at Pitt, taking on Akron this Saturday, and then the Gators coming up a week from this Saturday as well. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee at 7:30. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com and Outkick 360 at 8 o'clock. So a lot to get to on the program today. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing just fine. Got the parking lot cleaned out. Are things okay out there now?
things are on the up and up. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Glad to be back with you all this morning. What a day to be alive, fellas.
Yeah. Hope the sun comes up soon.
Me too.
Glad I've been going to the gym doing some push-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
Working out.
We're going to stand behind you.
615-737-1025. Every now and then, this happens. You know, in our four-hour pre-show meeting that we put the painstaking effort into every morning. Tom Izzo was there bright and early this morning. Appreciate his service.
He was fiery today.
He was very fired up today.
Narduzzi came by.
Yeah, Narduzzi stopped in for a little bit. Big show today, so no question. Those two were there ready to go. But every now and then, Rex Road will toss something out there that's very intriguing to me. And he's done so again today in our pre-show meeting, talking about maybe a Titan from Sunday who's getting too much of a pass from people in week one. Joe, I legitimately don't know who you're talking about, so I'm interested to see who this is.
Well, I mean, if either of you would like to take one guess, I'll allow you a guess.
Well, I mean, my guess would be Cunningham, but we've talked a lot about him, so I feel like it's not it. So I will go... Man. I'll go Bud Dupree.
Okay. Michelle?
And I have one reason for that, but I'll get to it here in a minute.
Fired?
Okay, what's your reason for Bud Dupree?
Well, people have gone back and they've watched the running play. D-Mace was talking about this yesterday, too. The one where Saquon popped the big one.
Yeah.
And just the lane that Bud Dupree took. Not great on that one, and Saquon got outside.
Yeah.
That was my reason.
Those are good guesses. I put this in there, and again, it's more about us out here than it is about this person. But I've heard this way too much. Well, that has nothing to do with Randy Bullock. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
Like, wait. If you're an NFL kicker and you miss a 47-yard field goal, that's your exact job.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like... This is pre-rant here, but this is, again, this whole, like, no, it's binary. It must be this and not this. I'm not saying put everything on Randy Bullock. Not at all. Obviously, the Titans made all kinds of mistakes all over the place in every aspect. But this idea of, well, but you just forget about the Randy Bullock part of this. No, Randy Bullock still should have made the field goal, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard, like, it's just... Again, this is me reacting to just some friends and what they've said this week, and like essentially saying you are ridiculous if you put any of this on Randy Bullock. No, he's an NFL professional kicker who had a 47-yard field goal to win a game, and he hooked it badly. So, nope, that's exactly his job.
Well, as you pointed out on
Monday, why is this hard?
Well, as we pointed out on Monday. Everything that we've talked about this week, the collapse defensively in the second half, the lack of explosion offensively in the passing game that, you know, could be a concern moving forward, everything we've talked about this week, we'd still be talking about it, I think, to some degree.
Yeah, we would.
We probably yesterday largely would have moved on to the Bills had the Titans won the game. But, you know, you make that kick, the tenor of this week is much different heading into the Buffalo game. Than it is. Even with everything we've talked about, the rush defense, the offense, every concern you want to throw out there, Randy Bullock makes that kick, it's still a little bit of a different conversation heading into this game. I mean, 1-0 heading into Buffalo is much different than 0-1 heading into Buffalo.
Right. So obviously the big picture conversation of, okay, you got that win of one of the very few games on the schedule that look like that we're going to go into saying, yeah, they should win this game. But also, yeah, we'd be talking still about the defense and probably saying the same thing. Like, bad day, great player who's healthy right now, don't think it'll continue. We'd still be talking about the question of, I mean, I think, again, the biggest question is the offense being able to be explosive, being able to, you know, put enough points on the board and all that stuff. But we'd also be talking a lot more about Tannehill. That's what's interesting is, you know, the kicker.
Yeah.
Because then it's, well, I mean, there's another game-winning drive on his ledger for one thing. But, you know, that's the thing. If it leads to the outcome, then I'm confident we'd be throwing a lot more praise on what Tannehill did, which, again, wasn't like a great performance, but it was what you're looking for. It was winning.
Well,
should have been winning.
In retrospect, like, it is kind of amazing that he played as well as he did. I mean, just numerically, look at the numbers. He played as well as he did, and they still lost to the Giants. Like, if you'd have told me those were going to be Tannehill's numbers heading into the weekend, I'm like, okay, well, Titans are going to win by two touchdowns in
right.
this game.
Yeah, 10-point win, yeah. 10, 14 points.
So, it is, and I don't know what to do with that. Like, that's in some ways kind of concerning to me that Tannehill played as well as he did in that game and they still lost to the New York Giants.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, I think if Tannehill gets pockets like he got Sunday, I think he'll keep playing well. I just really wonder if he's going to keep getting many pockets like he got Sunday.
Especially this week.
Right. Yeah, this week, if he gets pockets like that, then you should get excited about the Titans' offensive line.
You should.
But just on a week-by-week basis, I just don't know. I mean, look, Leonard Williams is a darn good player. I just don't know how many teams are going to see that are weaker on the edge than what they just saw.
So we felt good, and going back to the Randy Bullock discussion, you know, he came in last year full-time. We felt good about him for the most part. He got a little bit off the mark towards the end of the season. Started to be a little bit more unreliable, and now, you know, you start off this year by missing a 47-yarder, potentially game-winning kick. Where do you think the Titans are as it relates to Randy Bullock? Which, by the way, doesn't take long in this league. Rodrigo Blankenship, not a great day on Sunday, and the Colts said, see ya,
yeah.
You're out.
And I mean, that has been kind of thing with them.
Yeah, it has.
So, yeah. It's a fair question with Bullock. I mean, I think you talk about last year, 26-31. You had the game winners in overtime at Seattle, at Indy, huge wins, and he nails those kicks. He misses the chance to have a tie with the Jets, which just alone would be such a prize to
be
able to remember the day that you tied the Jets. So he was 2-for-3 in those pressure situations. That makes him 2-for-4 with the Titans now, and that's, you want better than 50%. It's, you know, again, it's only 4 kicks. But yeah, I mean, last year I thought same thing. I mean, I guess it, well, if you go, you start with week 12 at New England, he had basically been almost perfect. You know, he's 4-for-5 at Seattle. He misses that one at the Jets. Then he goes on a stretch where he doesn't miss a kick.
Yeah.
For, I mean, a long time. And then he misses his only one at New England, misses one against the Jags, misses his only one against Houston. So started to fade a little bit. 26-for-31 is still really good. But like you said, it doesn't take long. And his history in the league is as a fringe starting kicker. You know? I mean, that's just what he's been. So is there a little bit of regression on the way with him?
Liam, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I don't think there's a Titans fan out there that felt good about Bullock trotting out there to kick anything over 30 yards. We just can't get that position right. That's why the in-game sequence was so disturbing, including giving up 3 yards to move to the other hash. We needed every yard. That is the other thing, and I heard the midday guys talking about this a little bit yesterday, and I agree. Like, it is the NFL. And I understand that every kicker, if given the choice, has a certain direction or spot on the field that they'd rather kick the ball. I understand that. Like, is it really worth giving up the 3 yards to get him on the right hash? He's an NFL kicker. Can he not make a 44-yard field goal from the left hash? I don't know.
That's a fair question. Now, the same kick from, you know, the exact same kick is
what ended up in the Cumberland River.
Right. Yeah, but obviously you're going to kick it differently from the other hash. Maybe it would have helped him. You know, I don't know. But, you know, his career, You know, it's interesting. So he's, you know, I mean, short field goals. He's, I'm looking at his all-time numbers. First of all, he's been, you know, again, he's been good. I mean, he's 21 for 26 with Cincinnati, 27 for 31, 19 for 23. Pretty much like right in that, you know, 80, like it's fine. 18 for 20. He had a decent run with him. It's not like he completely fell off the map. They just was like, okay, you know, we need a little get a little bit better. Try to get an elite kicker. I mean, he had decent years with Houston. He had 30 for 35 and back in 2014 with Houston, 19 for 23. But he is not, you know, a distance guy. I mean, he's only tried 26 50-plus yarders, which that tells you alone just that lack of attempts in that time as a guy who got in the league in 2013. The teams just, they don't mean mess with it. He does not have a big leg, and he's 13 for 26 on those. He's 65 for 85, 40 to 49. And, you know, with the Titans, he's 9 for 15 in those kicks, which isn't great.
So what you're saying is, had the Titans had a 64-yard field goal to try and win a game, Vrabel probably would not have trotted Randy Bullock out there. May have gone for it on 4th and 5.
Nathaniel Hackett badly needed to have Randy Bullock as his kicker the other night, so he would not make one of the biggest.
He did apologize, kind of, like to admit his wrongdoing.
Yeah, and probably about as much as you could expect the guy. So I give him credit for that. Hope he doesn't have Twitter.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've got more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans coming up next. Wes Rucker coming up at 6:30 as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 coming up at 6:30. We'll get his thoughts on what he's seen and learned from this Tennessee football team through the first two games. Looking forward to that. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, one thing we've not really talked about in the aftermath of the game on Sunday, Ryan Stonehouse. How did you think he punted the ball? Obviously, the first time in a long time that somebody handling the regular punting duties in a regular season game outside of Brett Kern. What did you think of Ryan Stonehouse and his performance on Sunday?
Well, you can't argue with the numbers. I do think, you know, a couple times he outkicked the coverage a little bit.
I think so.
So you want to work on hang time over distance a little bit at times. But, I mean, pretty good. I mean,
he's got a heck of a leg,
he
man.
He can crush it. Yeah, he can crush it. So I'm trying to get this up. You know, I thought actually I was surprised when I looked at the book at the end of the game, because I thought his net punting wouldn't be as good as it was. But it's 46-7. I mean, 6 punts, 57 a punt, long of 66, net of 46-7, 3 of the 6 inside the 20. Pretty good. I mean,
good.
I guess, you know, you could have had a net of like 50 plus, which is ridiculous. If a couple of those had a little more hang time, a little less distance. So let's nitpick the rookie. No, it was good. There's a reason they went with him.
Hey, some good performances from rookies on Sunday. That's what I'm, as we continue to look back and as we move forward into the Bills game today, which we are going to do today, that's what continues to stand out to me. Some young guys that you're excited about. When you talked to Vrabel, on Monday, pretty glowing about Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips and what they did in the first game. I'm interested, like, as the season continues to go on and people become, I guess, more and more aware of Kyle Phillips, I think you're right. Like, he's not a guy that scares anybody to death in terms of what he can do down the field. But, I mean, 6 catches for 66 yards, I think it's pretty clear that Tannehill likes him. Trust him. Can he continue to provide that type of production? Like, I'd sign up for, you know, 6 catches for 66 yards every day of the week for Kyle Phillips from here on out, if that's going to be the case.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to be consistent element. I think one thing Blake Bedingfield said yesterday, that definitely crossed my mind during the game. You know, that's the thing. I mean, Humphreys was the slot guy here too. He was effective too, but those guys catch a lot of passes in between a bunch of big linebackers, and then they take huge shots.
They do.
And he took a couple huge shots Sunday. So I don't know how – there are times when your quarterback can help you out a little bit there, and sometimes your quarterback hangs you out to dry. But also the nature of the position is sometimes it's basically like, well, you know, it's kind of like going to the hard areas in hockey. I mean, if you're going to go in there, you're probably going to – take some punishment.
Yeah, there's a price to pay.
And he's a little dude.
He is.
I mean, he's like, you go in the, you know, like you go in the Titans locker and you're like, what's this high schooler doing in here with the Titans? Just like, bring your kid to work day, you know? Tough guy, good player, but that keeping him healthy is a thing for sure.
How much do you think the Titans missed Racy McMath in terms of the role that he could have played in this game? What role do you think he would have played in that game against the Giants?
Yeah, it's
especially with Traylon Burks being as productive as he was.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. And with Racy McMath, I was so sure at one point in camp, like, this is a thing. This is real. Like, this guy's going to be not out there all the time, but they're going to lean in on this. Why wouldn't they? He's figured some things out, and he's actually able to utilize his gifts. But, you know, then he had some rougher days, and now, of course, we don't know exactly how long he's out. So I suspect that had nothing gone wrong health-wise, that he definitely would have – he definitely would have been in the rotation. He would have had some opportunities. It's just hard to know. I mean, I'm watching Robert Woods and Westbrook Akinye get a target each.
Yeah,
I mean, I assume it was some of the stuff they did with Burks, would they have done it with McMath? I don't know. I still think that Burks, especially after the catch, he's different, right? That's where he stands out from everybody else, including McMath. But just as a look, they never threw the ball down the field. I kind of had a back and forth on the text line the other day with the text. You made good points. Like, let's count up here. They did have a lot of X plays, as Vrabel calls them, explosive plays. They had a bunch of 20-plus yard receptions. They had a couple to Hilliard touchdowns. They had the huge one to Phillips late, which was, to me, that's an explosive play. Like, you went over the top, dropped it in there. You had the one to Burks, 27 yards. So it's like, yeah, I mean, if you look at that, it doesn't look bad. But I don't think Tannehill ever threw the ball in the air more than about 20 yards. I think that last hit to Phillips is maybe the farthest he threw the football. And that can't continue. You have to make those safeties, work back there. And so that's something I feel like. Now, of course, we're talking about Buffalo now. It's like, yeah, I'm sure he'll have all kinds of time to set up and launch downfield. But you
take a couple pats with the football back there, just all the time in the world.
Yep, go through your reads, nice and slow. But you have to try to get some of that stuff. And that is where I think McMath would be used right now. It's where I think Traylon Burks needs to be used right now.
Joe, one thing we've not talked a lot about, and the Titans got more bad news on this front yesterday. Tom Pelissero put it out there that Deshaun Hand going to be out for the season with a torn quad. So now, you know, people may gloss over this, but A.J. Moore is on injured reserve, and Deshaun Hand now on injured reserve as well, both out for the season. Obviously, we're not talking about household names here with the Titans. But your depth defensively already starting to be tested through one game of the season with the Titans. So, look, injuries happen. It's football. I still contend that probably not going to approach what happened last year in terms of the different players, hopefully, used by the Titans. But not a great start injury-wise in terms of losing two depth guys on defense for the season. I mean, if you're out for four or five games, and okay, you can probably manage that. But for the season, that hurts if you're the Titans.
Yeah, and he was a nice story. One of those guys who, former number one recruit, kind of bouncing around, decent career at Alabama, but he was good for them in camp. I assume this means they will call up Lorel Murchison, who's been on the active roster, but maybe they'll go out and get someone else. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's a hit to the depth. I don't know what A.J. Moore's role is going to be. I thought he was pretty clearly the third safety, and safety depth is – tough. That's, boy, you cannot get those guys hurt Real quick, Josh from Cookville. That's a good point. Tannehill threw deep to Burks, but he was interfering on that the no call and the interference. That wasn't deep, but yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So my bad. So do that more. They did it once. Keep trying it. I think a lot of officiating crews probably call that correctly interference. So
you would think.
Keep giving them the opportunity.
Titans don't have Jerome Boger coming up on Monday Night Football, do they? I don't think so.
Do we know the crews yet?
I don't know if we know yet.
I hope not, man.
I'm going to assume
I hope not, just because I don't want to watch Jerome Boger's crew work a football game if I can help it. It's very hard to watch.
It is very difficult to watch. There's no question about that. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7 coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. Or not the Titans. We'll get his thoughts on the Tennessee Vols. Although I'm sure Wes has tremendous thoughts on the Titans as well. So we'll see if he's got any thoughts on that. Speaking of college football, tune into the college football game of the week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Saturday as Georgia takes on South Carolina at 11 o'clock. College football game of the week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. We'll have Wes Rucker coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Big win for the Vols over the weekend. 2-0, top 15 in the country. To help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7. Wes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Wes, what did that game on Saturday in Pittsburgh, the way that Tennessee won the game, what did that tell you about where this Tennessee team is? What did you learn about the Vols on Saturday?
Well, that's a good question. I think you learned there's some mental toughness there because Tennessee is still not what I would call maybe – it's definitely not an elite team, you know, or anything of the sort. It's a better team, I think. It's a team that's got some guys that can hurt you in some places, and it's a team that can obviously play nowhere near its best football and beat a pretty good team on the road. So, you know, the project itself, it seems to be, I don't know if you want to say too far ahead of schedule or anything. It looks like it's in a pretty good position, though. I think this team can play a lot better, needs to play a lot better, but you have to be impressed when you play a million miles from your best and beat a pretty good team on the road.
So of the various issues they had Saturday, Wes, what would you say is something that's just, you know, fluky, maybe the flukiest thing? Maybe what's the biggest, you know, concern moving forward that could be a real issue for this team? If you've got one of each.
Yeah, the flukiest for me probably would be just the number of simple things that were not done well, like, you know, not hitting receivers who are open, not catching passes when you're out there by yourself with a little bit of space to work with. Just some of those, you know, kind of simple things that you would think that just about anybody at this level would be able to do. I mean, you know, Hendon Hooker can hit open throws. Tillman can catch open passes. You know, there are things like that that I think that's a little bit fluky, and that's just kind of one of those things that happens and doesn't happen very often, and I wouldn't worry about that. In terms of, like, bigger concerns, I still think that this team just does not have a lack of – it does not have elite athleticism at linebacker and maybe at safety. And I think that's something that against the best teams you play on the schedule, they're going to get exposed at times there. Doesn't mean they can't win those games. Doesn't mean they can't figure out a way to get things done. But there's just sort of they're not just like typically like upper-level SEC athletic sort of at linebacker and safety. And I think in space especially, people are going to be able to give this defense problems.
Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Wes, what do you make of the role that Brew McCoy has carved out for himself through two games, and how do you expect that role to continue to expand as they move forward?
Yeah, he's he's a unique player, you know. He really is. And when he came out of high school, a lot of people thought he might be a better linebacker than a receiver. Now, that tells you kind of how big and physical and strong he is. But he can go high point the ball. He can go get in traffic. He can body defensive backs. You know, he's also got a little bit of speed. There's a lot of reasons why he's a really good football player. And he's a guy who I think on the other side playing from Tillman, it's going to be really hard to double team him all year because Tennessee splits you so wide that you kind of have to declare whether you're going to play man or zone. It's kind of really hard to play zone anyway against this bunch. But then, you know, you're still going to have to shade all the coverage toward Tillman. And when you do that, you're going to leave McCoy in a lot of one-on-one situations. And I think McCoy can win a lot more one-on-one situations than he can lose. So I think those two on each end there, and then a guy like Hyde in the slot, I think Tennessee's got a really good situation again at receiver this year.
At running back, Wes, Jalen Wright was better Saturday. I think his physicality was just really needed in this game, but of course he fumbles again. Jabari Small didn't get much done. Now, look, that's what Pittsburgh does. So what do you make of the running back situation moving forward? I know there's not a lot of intrigue coming here with the Zips coming to town, but I that's one of the things I'm kind of interested in, just seeing the rotation and how those guys play Saturday.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Joe. I think Jabari Small, Pitt did what it does, right? So it shouldn't be too much of a concern. But I really thought Jabari Small would get a little more done in that game. And it's a little bit disappointing that he didn't. Now, it could be kind of just a Pitt doing what it does thing, or maybe a running back just never really quite got in the flow kind of thing. But I thought athletically, I just thought he would do a little bit more. Now, Jalen Wright, on the other hand, athletically did what I thought he should do. He is an incredible athlete, and I'm not exaggerating. That kid is a freakish athlete in terms of his, you know, sort of the speed and strength numbers that he has at that size. But you gotta hold on to the ball. That's 2 in 2 weeks, and that is a little bit concerning because he didn't have much contact at all in camp because of that quad injury. So maybe as he plays his way kind of into shape as the year goes on, maybe that stops happening. But it needs to, because I think athletically, he right now is the best they got back there. And I think he's a good, good player. But it doesn't matter how good you are if you don't have the ball at the end of the play.
Wes, one of our big concerns that we talked about on the show after the Ball State game was the pass rush. They didn't have a sack against Ball State. And, you know, look, we know Ball State was trying to get the ball out as quickly as possible. That certainly changed on Saturday. Good pass rush, lots of pressure on the quarterback. My question for you is, how much better do you think Tennessee is in that area this year of rushing the passer than they were a year ago?
I think they're significantly better now. Now, can they do it? Can they kind of replicate that on a weekly basis? I don't know right now. But they should certainly consistently be better than they were last year. That's a big deal. I think Tyler Barron and especially Byron Young are very, very good players off the edge. I think they get pretty good push up the middle also. And I think they've got some linebackers and DBs who are pretty good blitzers in their own right. So I think they've got a lot of different options up there. And I think they're rotating a lot of bodies. And I think they just have more depth and more athleticism there than they have had in the past couple of years. Now, I don't think that means that they're as athletic on the back end as you'd like them to be. But up front, I think they've got numbers, and I think they've got some guys who are pretty good players. Like Byron Young, that's a dude. That's an elite athlete. That's a dude who would start anywhere. He'd play anywhere. He's awesome. Tyler Barron is another guy who's a really good athletic specimen who can do some things. So I think you saw in the first game, if you watched film, it was a lot better than it looked like it was live. Ball State was just determined to get rid of the ball quickly, and it did. And if you want to take no sacks in the game, you can usually take no sacks in the game, and that means you're just not going to make many big plays, but you're not going to give up any sacks. You know, Pitt wanted to, you know, play action, get the ball downfield a little bit more, played a bit more traditional. And when you do that, I think Tennessee's defensive line is going to make you pay a little bit for that. I think they're good. I think I think they're still coached at that position about as well as you're going to be anywhere with a guy like Rodney Garner. So I think there's a lot to like about that group, and I like the number of bodies they can throw at you there.
Yeah, and I thought it was a really encouraging day on all that, especially I'm with you, Byron Young. He is a stud. I want to go back to something you said earlier, Wes, because I agree with you. You know, the safety position, those guys are veterans. They're smart. They're going to make plays, but there are some limitations. At linebacker, man, I was awfully impressed with Aaron Beasley. I mean, what how good do you think he could be? He's one of those guys. I love these stories where, you know, whatever happens, you know, you got a guy who just sort of gets forgotten about. Everybody wants to talk about the freshman coming in, you know, this four-star, that five-star. But sometimes people just get better and the light comes on. And I don't know, it kind of looks to me like that's happening with Aaron Beasley. Is there some mirage there with one performance against Pitt, or do you think that he actually can help improve this defense?
No, I think, John, I think for the second consecutive week to open the year, he was Tennessee's best linebacker. And a lot of people talked about Jeremy Banks going into the season, and it's not like he's been terrible. He's just kind of been there. You know, he's not been as effective maybe as you would hope that he would be. But Beasley's been very, very good. He's been all over the place. He's played well against the run. He's played well against the pass, or okay against the pass. I mean, still one-on-one in space. You know, that's where these guys worry you a little bit. But in terms of stepping up to help the run, in terms of stepping up to make plays over the middle, going to blitz the passer, getting in his face that way, giving him problems, he's done a lot of things very, very well. And he's probably, to me, about as improved as anybody on the team is anywhere. He's a good football player. And this is a kid who was a safety. He's kind of needed time to kind of bulk up and make himself an impact player on defense. He's a guy who I think will go out there and have a genuinely pretty good year if he stays healthy and all that. He's bulked up a little bit. He's not like a freak athletically, but he's good enough athletically. He's a guy who I think when you watch film, he is all over the place. He is. You know, and for a kid who's only about, what, 225 or so at linebacker, he'll pop you. He'll give you a good lick. So I think he's someone who, if you want to talk about anybody on that defense in terms of their improvement, really anybody on the team, he's right up there.
Wes, last thing for you here, and far be it from me to underestimate the Zips coming in on Saturday, but just assuming Tennessee takes care of business and they're 3-0, what is this fan base going to be like heading into the Florida game?
Oh, they're going to be fired up. Now they're going to be, Robbie, they're going to be a little bit apprehensive because it's Florida, right? I mean, they just are, and they should be, because historically speaking, that's not gone so well for them. So, but I think they'll be excited. They'll be fired up, and they know that Florida is sort of in a, you know, kind of in a transition year. This is a really good time to get Florida to come to your house. Now you say that. You still got to deal with Anthony Richardson in space, right? And that's not something that this defense does naturally well. I think Richardson's the kind of guy who's built from the ground up to give them problems, even though he wasn't good last week. So I think there'll be some apprehension there. There'll be some nerves because there just always are against Florida. But they should be pretty confident because if they go out there and play their best game and Florida plays its best game, I think Tennessee's probably a better football team. But you got to go out there and take care of business. And against Florida, we all know how that goes sometimes.
No question about it. Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Wes, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Wes Rucker, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll continue the conversation on the Vols. Welcome your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Wes Rucker for joining us in the last segment, talking some Vols. They get the Akron Zips coming in on Saturday night at Neyland Stadium. Tennessee, a 47.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Is that all?
So am I getting
that thing to 50, Vols fans.
I was telling you in the break Josh Heupel probably would not be very happy with me just overlooking the Zips like I just did, particularly with what just happened this past weekend in college football.
Yeah.
Lots of upsets.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. Don't conflate those scores with what's going to happen Saturday. The Zips are bad. Bad.
They did not look great against Michigan State. 52-0, final score.
Michigan State's not as good as Tennessee. They're missing two of their best defensive players. They're not that good anyway. They're not number 11 in the country. I think we'll probably find that out, them going to Washington, actually playing a game. So some of these teams are just, I mean, Michigan is playing, what are they playing, like UConn the week after Hawaii, the week after Colorado State.
Really throwing it out there in the non-conference scheduling, yeah.
You know, let's see, Harbaugh's first year was 15, so this is Harbaugh's scheduling. What kind of a wimp are you, Harbaugh? Are you kidding me? Play somebody.
Well, as you pointed out, Michigan won, what was the final score, 56-10 against Hawaii?
Yeah, thank goodness. I mean, thank goodness I got that right. Michelle got it wrong, or else we had a terrible week. We both had a bad week.
It was 46-0 at halftime, and I was like, this is too good to be true.
But that's the thing. Then it's like, empty the bench. Right. Yeah, that's the problem with those lines. Yeah.
But Vanderbilt won 63-10, so transitive property. Vanderbilt's better than Michigan.
Vanderbilt would beat Michigan by a touchdown. Vanderbilt by 7 if they played Michigan.
Bo from Murfreesboro on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, in fairness to the linebackers in coverage, the SEC nor the nation are full of linebackers that can cover today's tight ends and running backs. Although Tennessee has struggled to do that, obviously, I'm not real sure if there are a ton of linebackers around the conference or in the country that do that exceptionally well. That's from Bo from Murfreesboro.
But it depends on what program you're looking at. If you go watch like Georgia play defense in recent years, you're seeing guys who can do everything well. Certainly, the offense has the advantage in college football. But, like, go watch, you know, last year's Georgia defense was like, holy cow. Like, they are just faster everywhere than everybody and swarm everything. But that's Georgia.
Yeah.
And that's no one's trying to compare Tennessee's defense right now to Georgia anyway. It's interesting. I mean, especially at safety. You know, McCullough and Flowers are good players, and they trust them, and they've worked hard to, you know, like Heupel talks every time he's asked about those guys, like how much they worked on their bodies in the offseason and stuff. Like, they're solid safeties, but that is a spot that, like, down the road, and they trust them, and that's such a cerebral position. It's a communication position with the corners on their side, all that stuff. Get the right call and everything. But down the road, they can be better. I mean, you want people who are projected as high draft picks as many spots as possible. And right now, on that Tennessee defense, I'd say Byron Young is trending toward being, you know, a pick, and maybe some of those guys up front, but not a ton else, which means, you know, you've got to upgrade the talent level over time here.
Well, they've recruited pretty well on the defensive side of the ball for this next class, too. So it's obviously been something that's a point of emphasis for Josh Heupel. I mean, my question defensively as they move forward is, how much of what we saw Saturday is representative of what their pass rush is, and how much of that is just the way the game unfolded against Pittsburgh? I mean, look, they were sending additional guys. It wasn't just like, you know, Byron Young and Tyler Barron were beating their guy off the line every time. They played well in that game, but they were sending additional blitzers a lot in that game, which they're going to continue to do. How much of their ability to get to the quarterback, how much is that a part of their defense as they move forward? And, you know, they'll get to the quarterback against Akron, I think. Feel pretty confident in saying that. If they want to.
Although Akron may do it Ball State.
They may do just snap throw. Snap and just throw it immediately. It may end up happening. But, like, when you get to the Florida game and the LSU game against these SEC offensive linemen, which, by the way, Pittsburgh's got a good offensive line, so it's not like you didn't see a good look on Saturday. Can you continue to rush the passer, you know, maybe not at the same rate, but at a good rate as they move forward here?
Yeah, it's a good question. Another thing to keep in mind is that Tennessee had a big problem with the quarterback run thing last year. I mean, especially the Ole Miss game. But
yeah,
you're talking Anthony Richardson can hurt you. You're talking Jaden Daniels can hurt you. So that's the next part of that challenge is, like Wes was just talking about, then sometimes when you're in space, do you have the guys who in space can keep a run to 8 yards, or all of a sudden it just became 30 yards?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the big question as they move forward. Like, I feel good about their offense, and I know that they didn't have a great day on Saturday, and especially in the second half, it looked rough. And I'm not saying that Tennessee is just going to be able to score at will against Georgia and Alabama and some of the better teams that they play, but you know, like I said yesterday, when your bad day offensively still results in 34 points, I mean, I remember a couple years ago, you were clamoring for 34 points out of Jeremy Pruitt. Like, was, oh my gosh.
That was October or so of like 2020 was yeah. about 34 points.
Yeah, yeah, just the entire month. It was just brutal. So I feel good about the offense. I think Wes is right. The three receivers that they have, I think, complement each other really well, and I think they've found something there that can be very productive as they move forward. The one concern I do have offensively is the running game. Like, I thought Jabari Small was good, okay, against Ball State. You know, they didn't run the ball very well at all against Pittsburgh. Again, as you pointed out, that's what Pittsburgh does, and that's what they force you to do. They're not afraid of one-on-one coverage in the passing game, and you know, Tennessee took advantage of that at times on Saturday. But as you move forward here, can you run the ball? Can you get, you know, a decent amount of production from your running backs? I mean, think back to last year, the Missouri game, the South Carolina game. Yes, they threw the ball well in those games, but the game was over because they just gashed them in the running game. And I don't know. I'm interested to see if they can do that again this year.
Yeah, it's interesting with Small and Wright. And maybe I've underrated Wright a little bit because I was really impressed with him. But that's the thing. You cannot.
Hold on the ball.
You cannot keep putting the ball on the ground. I still think Jabari Small, I still think he's got some big games in him. But they got to figure that out. And really, you need both those guys going. I mean, it's like them and then, you know, you really don't want to go beyond that, I think, if you can help it. Now, you do get to play Dylan Sampson for about a half Saturday, so that'll be fun. But,
yeah.
But you know, once you move forward into the SEC, probably not as much. I'm also interested just in, like, the fourth. Is there a need to get a fourth guy, a clear fourth guy? You know, does anybody emerge? Now, a lot of guys are going to get opportunities. Again, they're going to be catching some Joe Milton passes on Saturday night of that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I am confident that he's going to mess with his darn near perfect quarterback rating, though. Is the only problem.
He might, you know? might just keep going.
I mean, you're going to have to be perfect to improve on what he did against Ball State. But, you know, Merrill, Keaton, I still think, you know, Holiday is a guy who could give you the occasional big play in there, maybe. But when they get into these big games, if those three are healthy, those three are getting just about every snap.
Well, and included in the running game is they've not really, and I think some of this has been intentional, they've not gotten a ton from Hooker in the running game thus far either. I think he's got a combined 39 yards through two games against Pittsburgh and Ball State. Now, he did have a really nice run around the corner in overtime the other night that got called back. And I think that was a little bit more intentional from Josh Heupel there when it got to winning time. Was, all right, we need Hendon Hooker to run the ball a little bit. Does that happen with more frequency, whether it's called or, you know, ad-libbed as they move forward? I have to think that in some games it absolutely will, and that he'll have to be a big part of the running game.
It's wild that, I mean, does he really have 20 attempts in two games? That does not seem right to me. That's what they've got him for. They got him for, 20 for 39.
How much of that is a sack, too?
Yeah, those two. Now, I don't know how many times he's been sacked, but that counts. So, that's like you just, you know, like to me, don't do it a single time Saturday. Like, not a single time. And if he does just break the pocket on a pass play, great. Be ready to slide. Just, you know, there's just no need to mess around with that. But, yeah, when you get into the Florida game, I wouldn't be surprised if it's used quite a bit because it may be what you need to win.
Will from Nashville on the text line says, Robbie, D-May says Tennessee will beat Georgia unequivocally. I love D-Mace.
I feel like D-Mace has got some takes flying around.
He does.
Lately.
I love D-Mace. I'm just here to tell you, Tennessee's not going to beat Georgia this year.
Yeah, Kentucky is.
Kentucky's definitely not going to beat Georgia this year. But Tennessee's not going to beat Georgia.
All right. Well, you know what? Put it down. We've got you on tape. And when it happens,
yeah, you know, put it down. I'll do something.
All right.
We'll figure out what it is.
What will you do? What will you do?
Von Miller haircut.
Maybe cry. But, yeah. Yeah, the Von Miller haircut for the bald guy. We might do that.
We'll get you a little stick on in the back.
That'd be good. It'd look real good. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans. Take our first look at the Buffalo Bills coming up next
as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.